Up and Adam this morning. Snow FM breakfast for your pyjama and champagne Friday.
Simo, happy Friday. It's a big day for you today, Simo.
I guess, yeah. Every day is a big day.
Oh, would you care to share the news or...
Well, I mean, no one I know or am involved with is pregnant, Jordan, so I have no idea what's happening.
Simo, it's a big day. Surely, you know, why are you skirting around the issue? Why don't you share the news with the with everyone?
I mean, I'm confused, but we
today,
do...
Simo...
Yeah?
It's the first day that you're not wearing a jumper.
That's correct.
It's no, the first I've rolled day in... that you've come in, you've rolled in a T-shirt.
Yep, I've since changed.
It's an emotional day.
Yeah.
Winter is officially over.
Yep, the studio
is here.
The studio's always a little bit chilly, so I've already changed back into long sleeves, but I flirted with the idea of a T-shirt for a moment.
I flirted with the idea of a T-shirt too.
Yeah.
And then I put a jumper on.
Yep.
But I could take this jumper off. I don't feel I need it. I'm just too lazy.
It's the best way to be in the snowies. This morning, we're going to be having a chat to Matthew Holmes. He's the director of a whole bunch of feature films that were done in Victoria Regional New South Wales. He's going to help us out with a bit of a movie segment happening this morning. Post Malone, that was Posty with his Circles from Hollywood's Bleeding album. Number one on the ARIA charts as well. 20-7 on Snow FM Breakfast.
What do you reckon Post Malone's going dressed as on Halloween?
Himself. He's a pretty he's a pretty scary looking dude as it
is. Got some interesting tattoos, shall we say.
Well, he's got some tattoos. I think he's got a grill. And I also think he's got like two dreadlock things going on.
Does he?
So, I mean, that's enough to frighten some children.
And you just go dress up as Post Malone. Don't need the ghost or anything, just go dress as the Postie.
We're talking Halloween because a haunted house has promised an extreme experience that can last up to 10 hours.
So this is after 10 hours after you leave the haunted house.
I assume it's...
You will still be scared, is that right?
Yeah, I assume there's a couple of, like, hours that you can spend in the house to get your money's worth. But
I'm
then,
just waiting for the 10 hours to tick over. As soon as it ticks over, you're like, oh, I'm fine
I'm
now.
Fine now. It's all good.
That's all right.
That didn't last. Imagine if it just, only lasted 9 hours.
Just time it so that when you leave the haunted house, you're just about to go to bed anyway. So then you just sleep through the 10 hours.
So it's also worth mentioning that apparently this experience lasting up to 10 hours, if you're going to go to this haunted house, it requires participants to be medically cleared by a doctor and also sign a 40-page waiver.
Yeah, look, I mean, don't put that on the poster if you're trying to attract people to your event. Oh, by the way, you might have to sign this waiver.
So are you dubious now at this stage? It gets better.
Well, what is it? Do you know what makes this haunted house so scary?
It's a house that's scary, mate. Visitors must be at least 18 years of age, insured, and also pass a background check and a drug test.
What is going on in this? Is this just a big kind of hoax, this haunted house? They're kind of saying it's a haunted house, but really they're just like drug testing people.
It's actually...
It's just the police. There's just an elaborate way. Okay, well, this is how we can get drug tests from everyone, and then we can find out who fails, and then just arrest them.
Actually, it's probably like a CIA recruitment centre. Like,
yeah, all that.
Just like, wow, you cleared everything, and you're still ready to face up to 10 hours of fear. Do you want a job, son? This is Shawn Mendes, Senorita, Snow FM. I love it when you call me. All of the things that we do. Charlie Puth, that was Mother on Snow FM Breakfast. It's Simo and Jordan just hanging out on the way to your 7:30 news.
And Simo, taking your driver's test, it's a very nervous time in anyone's life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't. Pass first
no, I
time.
Didn't. I would have collected a post if it wasn't a brake pad on the other side of the vehicle on my first test.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Jeez, do you want to elaborate the story?
I was a bit over aggressive with the U-turn comes to the crunch time, and I was just like, let's do this.
We'll just do a donut as well.
So I went, completed the U-turn, but then unfortunately there was a post right in front of me where I finished up. So, you know, be aware of your surroundings when you drive, mainly for me.
Yeah, fair enough. But you passed second time round, right?
Yep.
Sweet. So I've passed first time round my test, but this guy in England hasn't passed at all and he's attempted the test 10 times.
Whoa, that's a lot of driving tests.
Don't know if he was listening to Shannon Knoll, though.
And he had a car?
Well, yeah, he was in a car. I got a car. Nice, I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. So he...
It wasn't black, it was white, though.
Yeah, and he... It wasn't his car?
Here's the thing. His driving test, it was so bad he got arrested for it. The easiest way of telling the story is just to read you the tweet that the UK police put out.
Yeah.
Ready for this? Welcome to the world of stupid. Male turns up for driving test... Male turns up to the driving test centre for his driving test, having driven himself there, unsupervised.
Oh, brilliant.
then fails for the 10th time. So he drove there unsupervised, because obviously when you're a learner, you need someone with you in the passenger seat.
Oh, man.
He drove there on his own, unsupervised, and the people thought, that's a bit interesting.
Yeah.
Then proceeded to do his test, failed for the 10th time. They go, okay, well, that's also interesting. Then they sort of did a little bit of research into the car he was driving. Turns out it was taken without the owner's permission, so technically, that's stealing.
I don't know. Yeah, that part I'm not impressed with, but the fact that he drove to the driving test, then failed it, I don't know if I'm mad or just impressed with that particular aspect.
Also, mate, you should be mad because it is illegal.
Yeah, well, yeah, there is that. And also the fact that, what, he pinched a car?
Well, the car belonged to a friend who he just took without permission.
Okay, right.
So technically that counts as stealing a car. I mean, it's not like the full-on smashing a window, breaking in, hot wiring it, and then driving off. It's not like that. You know, he just got the keys and just thought, you're at work today. You're not using this. I'll just take it for a little drive. Take it for a little spin.
Do you not think he's tried to do the right thing, though? Like, he's gone there to get his license. He's just borrowed his mate's car. He's trying to go through the right format, but the, you know.
I guess, Emma, how would you feel if I borrowed your car?
Look, I mean, without telling me?
Yes.
I mean, I'd probably report it stolen, probably.
There you go. See, exactly.
But, you know, if you came back and told me, look, I passed my driver's test.
I'd report it stolen, but I'd also give you a cake in celebration.
I'd be pleased for you.
Yeah.
But no, that's just super dumb. Zed and Kalani, we got a good thing on Snow FM. I book myself tables. You ever thought I was? Freya Riding's Castles playing on Snow FM at breakfast, thanks to High Country Automotive, the home of Kuma Toyota used cars.
And Simo is turning into a Christmas Grinch.
Yeah, I don't mind having a bit of a...
You are looking a bit green this morning now I mention it.
Grinch vibes. It's 20 to 8 and supermarkets around Australia landed in hot water, a bit of ridicule because, right, they've been selling biscuits that have been labelled Leave Out for Santa. Right now it is early.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, gets worse.
I mean, if they're selling them by now, they're probably going to go stale by the time Santa arrives, unless I've missed a memo and he's coming in late October.
You bring up a very good point.
Thank you.
The biscuits labelled Leave Out for Santa, they happen to go stale 2 months before Christmas Day. So their 31st of October is when they're done and kaput. The salted caramel shortbread, it looks delicious at the moment, but if you're going to leave it out for Santa... Santa might not have a great morning, I assume.
Leave out for Santa if you are, like Simo, a Christmas Grinch and want to poison Santa
with
mouldy cookies.
So apparently these ones go out of date the 31st of October, and the supermarkets have come out in defence of the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. It says, the Bickies for Santa stickers are a festive reminder for customers to remember to leave out a tasty treat on Christmas Eve.
Just not these ones. You'll have to come back closer to Christmas and buy some more.
It's interesting that they have to remind people that Christmas is coming.
Yeah, I mean, who's forgetting that?
It happens every year.
Who just, oh, what have I forgotten? Oh, I've left for work, phone, keys, wallet, I've got all that. Oh, it's Christmas!
No. Megan Trainor's No on Snow FM at breakfast. It's Simo and Jordan just hanging out for your Friday.
Hey Simo, we're talking movies and iconic movies that you may or may not have seen this morning.
That's right, so we've got an expert on the line. He's a feature film director, Matthew Holmes. Good morning.
Good morning, thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us, Matthew, we really appreciate it. So we put the call out about a week ago or so, people in the Snowies, if there's an iconic movie that you haven't seen, let us know. And boy, do we get a lot of responses.
Yeah, all throughout the Snowies, people sending in the iconic movies that they've never seen. So we're going to get you to judge them hard. But first and foremost, what are you up to, Matthew? Are you in production at the moment?
At the moment, I'm in development of a horror film called Blackjack. So
okay.
Running around looking for the money and things like that, trying to get it financed. So, yeah, horror movie, my first foray into horror.
Have you thought, the movie's called Blackjack, have you thought in order to get the movie, maybe go to a casino and play a bit of Blackjack? Could that work?
Look, it might increase my chances of getting the film financed, I tell you.
Matthew.
Gamble responsibly,
obviously. Alrighty, we ready to rumble, Jordan?
Matthew, so we got all these films here. We just want to go through them and find out if you've seen them and if you have, whether you think they're iconic or not.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, Simo, shall I go first?
Go for it.
All right, so these have all been sent in on the Snow FM social medias. Scott says Avatar.
Avatar, iconic or not?
Seen it. And Yes, I would say iconic, definitely, because it is the highest grossing movie of all time. So,
Scott,
and I don't think there's anyone on the planet who hasn't seen it.
Scott, that's a win for you, mate. And also, what I got here this morning, Brett Prince with Dirty Dancing. He's never seen it. Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing, yes. Dirty Dancing, have seen it many times, actually. I actually really enjoy it. It's definitely one of the biggest films of the... it was right on the cusp of the 80s and 90s. So, yeah, absolutely an iconic film, and for sure.
There they go for Brett.
What about Matthew has commented? It says The Hangover. Is that an iconic movie?
Look, I haven't seen it. Personally, I wouldn't call it iconic. Popular, yes. Made a lot of money. But I don't know if it's reached the realms of iconic in our culture yet. No, I don't think so. Not for me.
Does the fact that they made, I think, two or maybe three sequels and the sequels weren't as great, does that affect the first movie's iconic status?
Not necessarily. It usually just I would define a movie being iconic how much it really permeates our culture with, things we say and the way we look at things and so on. And I don't know. I just don't know if The Hangover's got there yet, but it might in, say, 10 years. Who knows?
All right, so we've got one here from Brett Dord. I'm enjoying this. Rambo 4. He obviously thinks it's iconic, but he hasn't
seen
it.
Rambo 1, 2, 3 are terrible. Just Rambo 4.
What do you reckon, Matthew?
Look, I haven't seen Rambo 4, and I would have to say not iconic. The character of Rambo absolutely is iconic.
Oh, there you go. Well, what about this guy for a character? Is he iconic? Borat.
Yes, I'd have to say he is iconic. Absolutely. And probably the movie as well. That was a pretty big cultural hit. And, I think there's not anyone around who doesn't know the character of Borat.
I mean...
Very nice.
One of us knows the character of Borat a bit more intimately than others.
Yeah. Do we have time to go into that story?
Yeah, go for it.
So, Matthew, a little bit of inside information about me is I may have very accidentally bought online a life-size cardboard cutout of Borat wearing a man cape.
Right, yes. Well, he's very iconic in your life.
The reaction you made was the exact same reaction as my housemates made when they realised that they now have to share their living room with it.
Right. He's not wearing his green bathers, is he?
He is wearing the green mankini.
Yes, he is.
Right. Okay.
Puts me off
no
my
wonder
breakfast
they had
every morning.
That reaction. Yeah. But the bathers are even iconic. So,
Matthew Holmes, feature director, the legend of Ben Hall. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Not a problem.
It's Niall Horan now. Slow Hands. You're on Snow FM. We should take this back to. Harry Styles, that was Lights Up on Snow FM at breakfast. Thanks to High Country Automotive, the home of Kuma Toyota used cars.
Now, Simo, the Summer Olympic Games are set to be held in Paris in the year 2024.
Paris.
They released their logo for the Olympic Games the other day. If you haven't seen it, head on over to the Snow FM Instagram. It's all in the stories there. It's a brilliant logo. It's kind of a sort of a gold-coloured circle with a flame that's lighting in it. But then if you have a look at it from a different angle, it looks like it's the silhouette of a woman with her hair flowing all over her face.
I mean, every time... It's because the Olympics always get hosted in a different spot, and there's been some high-profile stuff-ups like logos and mascots and...
Oh, do you remember London's logo back in 2012? That was just like some weird shapes.
I mean, I've got to be honest, Jordan. I'm not as into logos as you.
What was Sydney's logo when he hosted the Olympics? Do you remember?
No, I just remember that. Didn't Nikki Webster like hold the torch at one point?
Yeah, but she wasn't the logo.
And she came out of there was water everywhere.
Well,
it was a beautiful moment.
Yes, it was. I can't argue with that. But Simba, we're talking logos. So this Paris Olympic logo, there it is. I'm showing it to you now.
Ah, you are a logo expert.
So like you can see, it's a quality logo.
Yes.
It's got
a little flame inside it.
However, Simo, would you say that logo looks very similar to this one that I am showing you?
Remarkably similar.
So this one I'm showing you is of a red flame with a white background. Simo, do you know what company uses this second logo?
Super familiar with that one. It's big in the winter in the snowies. That's the Tinder app.
Simo is shocking that Simo knew that one straight away.
It's utterly frightening, isn't it?
I know. Do we need to elaborate on that anymore?
Not really.
How is your Tinder game going?
It's strong, Jordan. Very strong.
So, yeah, Simo, Paris is the city of love. Tinder is, of course, a dating app.
Yeah.
Which, Is that what they were going for? Do you reckon they were trying to mix it all in together, or just pure coincidence?
I mean, there's a lot of elements in that Paris Olympic logo, because there's like a woman as well. Also, that's in like a bit of a silhouette kind of style, because Paris is referred to as a she. Like, it's feminine.
Is it?
You like. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that one woman that's in the Paris logo is one more woman than I've ever got on Tinder. But head on over to the Snow FM Instagram page. Check it out. See what you think. I reckon they look pretty similar. Head on over to the Instagram story and check it out.
This is Sugar, Snow FM. Of Monsters and Men, that was Wars on Snow FM at breakfast. And it's 9 minutes on the way to nine. And romantic science is what we're getting into on Simo and Jordan.
That phrase, romantic science,
yeah,
is just terrible.
Not a fan?
Is that what it says on your Tinder bio?
Yeah,
romantic science.
This particular story involves a Mr. Christopher Brazil, and he's studying at the University of
Romantic Science
of Canada. So,
oh, that's where Canada, of course.
His last name's Brazil. He's in Canada, and he's studying relationships. In this research, Mr. Brazil, he asked 48 men to produce a 2-minute video in which they were asked what they do on a first date and what they're looking for in a relationship, right?
Okay.
And he's then applied their responses along with a questionnaire to put them onto a scale of kind of generic normal human to psychopathic tendency.
Are you sure that this is a scientist that's done this, or is this just the Canadian version of The Bachelor?
No, his name's Christopher Brazil. He's a PhD.
Oh, so that proves it. What is the point? Is this the Canadian version of The Bachelor? No, his name is Christopher Brazil.
Look.
No further questions needed.
Look,
I'm just going to start using that for when you go to get lunch. Would you like fries with that? No, my name's Christopher Brazil. What is the point of saying? Do you just want to say his name again? Do you want me to start calling you Simo Brazil? Is that it?
All I'm saying is that those scientists that are involved in, what is it, Married at First Sight, Love Island, The Bachelor.
If you're a scientist and your last name isn't Brazil, you're dead to me.
They're all nameless. They don't have... They keep them hidden. Well, there's this guy, he's out there.
You know the guy on Married in First Sight? His name's John Columbia.
You made that up.
Might have done. Anyway, so back to all this. What research has Mr. Brazil come up with?
He's put all the blokes on a normal to kind of psychopathic scale, if you like.
Did he tell them? Right, you're a number 3 on the psychopathic scale.
And then, so he scored them on this psychopathy test, and then he's got 108 women to watch the video of each man and then rated them in attractiveness. Now, this is the kicker, Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably should have, you know, it's all about finding love, etc. So let's have the Cardigan's Love Fool.
Nice.
Apparently, the PhD student found that higher a man scored on the psychopathy test in general, right, he was more attractive to the 108 women that were going through the videos.
Oh, I see. So the women found psychopaths more attractive.
Yes, according to this research.
Maybe that's why we're both single.
What?
We're not psychopaths.
You've got to be a bad boy, Jordan. That's how it works. Perfect Illusion, Lady Gaga. She's into nice boys, surely. It's Snow FM at breakfast. 6 minutes on the way to the workday, kicking off for your 9.